Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. I am so glad that you decided to tune in today. I am joined by Chris Williams and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and we are just excited to talk to you. You know, our co-hosts are so wise, and Chris, you were just telling me I get the front row seat because I get to hear you all on a daily basis, and I love hearing from you. Today, we're going to hear from you, Jackie. What's on your mind?
Imposter syndrome, or the imposter phenomenon, some people call it. I've been doing some research on that, and one of the things that has been surprising, not surprising to me, is how important the way a parent talks to their child really is. I've noticed that sometimes parents say things jokingly that they don't realize is actually impacting their child, or they say something as a one-off that they don't realize is going to stick with them. So even to like the you know, another show in which someone was calling in and they had some body image issues, there were things mom had said while her daughters were growing up that have stuck with them. Mm-hmm. And this woman is now 60 years old, still struggling with it. And so I just want parents to be encouraged and aware about the way they talk to their children. We have more influence on our children than we think we do. Mm-hmm. And I have encountered so many people who doubt their own worth because of things their parents have said to them. You can't do that. You'll never be good at that. Mm-hmm. No, that's going to be too hard for you. And so then they're, you know, excelling and getting straight A's and still every single time just wasting a bunch of energy on worry about failing when they've been successful time and time again because they study hard or they show up to work on time or they're doing the things that they're supposed to do to be successful, to have the life they want to have, and yet they keep taking steps backwards because of these old voices, these old scripts that they're still carrying around.
Yeah, and I find so much of the imposter syndrome is the old message of not enough, not good enough. Mm-hmm. Which also leads to other messages like you don't have what it takes or a very common one in imposter syndrome, you don't belong.
You don't belong.
You
don't belong here.
Right?
And as a black woman, I know that that one rings in my ear, but it doesn't ring true. I had a different parental experience in that area.
Yeah.
And so I've just always been of the mindset, if there's not a seat at the table for me, I'll bring my own chair.
I love it. I absolutely. I think the huge aspect that's missing here is something that we fear. We fear the antidote to the imposter syndrome.
Acceptance?
Acceptance. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Yes. We believe that acceptance, I think the fear that we have is that acceptance is going to lead to complacency. Mm-hmm. Acceptance will make our fears true, like you really don't have what it takes.
Or that acceptance stops progress.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Acceptance gets us connected to reality.
Yes.
And reality is the raw material of progress.
You can't make a change in something you haven't accepted exists.
It's actually, again, the warning I have against all of our self-help culture, which we're a part of, you know, or optimization culture. You know, yeah. It's like, oh, and so what people end up doing is they get addicted to learning more things and never doing anything.
Never being in their experience.
And so because they've never gotten to that acceptance piece.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. That'll preach. And, you know, it just reminds me of our identity in Christ, who God had created us
Amen.
To be and to live in that imago Dei, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
who we are. But that imposter syndrome, just like what you just said, we get caught up in that just messaging. But thank you, Jackie. That's
yes.
so good. We're going to take some calls right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artiburn with a New Life Moment. Years ago, I read about some kids who built a clubhouse in the branches of a tree. Wise far beyond their years, these boys and girls came up with a few simple rules of how to behave in this lofty little shelter. Number one, nobody act big. Number two, nobody act small. And number three, everybody act medium. That's pretty solid counsel for us adults. We're neither angels nor worms. We're all made in the image of God, yet we're all deeply flawed. We're all entitled to dignity and respect, yet we're all in need of mercy, patience, and understanding. Having an accurate estimation of yourself and others is the essence of humility and the foundation for strong interpersonal connections. Come visit me at newlife.com so we can talk more about this. I'm Steve Arterburn, and thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
You know, that is one of my favorite teachings from Steve. I've heard him say that, and I think about everyone act medium. But what you don't know, listener, is that I didn't know that that's what Jackie was going to talk about, and we already had this New Life Moment from Steve queued up. Isn't that just like the Lord?
Yes, that's God. That's God.
I love it so much. And, you know, I just think that is such a powerful message that'll stay with you, you know, to recognize God has created us with just gifts, but also we need mercy, and you know, we're all fellow journeyers, or what is that word? Sojourners that we are on this path. Right now, we're going to go back to the calls, and we are going to talk with Lindy, who's calling us from California.
Tehachapi.
There you go. And she's calling us on SiriusXM. We are so glad that you called, Lindy. How can we help you today?
Okay. I came from a terrible self-image upbringing from my mom. And I do not know what it's like to be loved by a woman called mom. I have no idea what it's like. I'm 71 years old, and I'm still in this. And I'm a born-again Christian, been born again for years and years and years. I love the Lord with all my heart. But the sin that so easily besets me is the way I look at myself.
Wow.
So I got this, I know I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. I know all that in my head.
You know it intellectually. Do you know it in your heart?
There's 18 inches it has to drop. I've had three different eating disorders, bulimorexia, anorexia, and bulimia. I've been up to 300 pounds. I'm 5'2". I've been down to 112, look like a 12-year-old boy. I've been binging and purging, because I have to keep that image up so that I can feel good about me. Because growing up, my mom used to say things to me like, "You'll never amount to nothing. You're nothing but a whore. You're this."
Oh my goodness.
I was 10. I was 10. And I'd go down to the pond. This is back in the day when we could go places when we were kids. And I'd go down there and I'd just be hanging out with everyone. "Where you been out, whoring?"
Oh, my goodness.
And then I'd go to hug her because I just needed a hug. I knew this was my mom and she was supposed to love me. So I'd put my arms around her and I'd lock my wrists. And she'd try to struggle to get my arms off of her and say, "I wish I was so fat you couldn't fit your arms around me." And, I mean, It was bad.
It
really
sounds
bad.
Terrible. It sounds terrible, Lindy. How can we help you today?
I need to get a better self-image. I mean, I've got this loving myself now, but I was despising who I am for years growing up. I shot myself in the foot with a .22 because I knew that it was wrong to commit suicide. I used to slam my knee with a softball so that I could walk around on crutches and maybe get some attention somewhere, like from my mama. And it never worked.
Well,
and
Lindy, Let me ask you one question before I turn it over to Jack and Chris. Have you done some counseling, any kind of treatment like that?
Oh, yeah. I went into an eating disorder unit. I went into a all kinds of treatments. I had a friend that was a Christian counselor, and she hypnotized me to help me figure out how to love myself. Mm-hmm. And so I went through that in 1989, and that helped me more than anything, because when I was coming back up after she brought and reassured me I wouldn't wake up flapping my arms like a chicken. Mm-hmm. And so she brought me up from the 18-month recollection, my first recollections all the way up, she taught me how when I did something good, like took a step, something that simple, put my arms around myself and tell myself I love myself for that. And being a female, you could do that anywhere and nobody would give two thoughts about it. So I learned to actually love. Go ahead.
Okay. So you've done some work, Lindy, but you still feel stuck. Let's hear what Jackie has to say so we can, and then we'll go to Chris.
Lindy, you said you learned to love yourself. However, what I'm hearing is that that's an intellectual learning as well. It still hasn't seeped in as a truth, as a reality that you are loved and lovable. You are finding physical ways to love yourself, like that caress for yourself, but it does not sound to me that you actually believe it, and I wonder if there's something you're still waiting for, a particular thing you think you'll feel when it's better.
Well, I if I knew what that was, I'd definitely be praying for it and working on it.
That sense that there's somebody else, the mother, that loves you, that would allow you to keep your arms wrapped around her, that wouldn't say those horrible things. What do you need mom to say to you?
I just need to know what it's like to be nurtured, to be brought up, even though people I know brought up in the 50s, 60s.
That can't happen, though. That can't happen. So where we are now, if you think about the, you know, going back to 18 months to that dawn of conscious memory and moving yourself forward to where we are today, the genre of your story seems like it was kind of a horror story. But you at 71 today, whatever today's date is, get to choose the new ending. Let's make this a choose your own ending story. What do you fantasize about going forward? Because we can't go back and get that nurturing. You can love yourself. You can tell yourself every day, I have a right to take up space. You can tell yourself every day, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You can tell yourself every day that my weight doesn't matter, my heart matters. But if you aren't actually believing that, you may not be making any change. So what do you want the story to look like going forward? What do you want to be saying to yourself now, rather than, you know, were you out there whoring? You weren't. You were 10. So what are you now? You nurture you. What do you say to that 10-year-old part of you if you are mom?
Well, I would like to know.
What do you say to that 10-year-old part of you? You just say what you would say to her.
What would I say to her? I would call her cute and adorable and sweet and kind and the cutest little thing I ever saw.
That's it. You keep nurturing you.
Mm-hmm.
You have it in you. You know what that little girl needs and didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to her.
That's right. Chris?
And Lindy, alongside of that is what oftentimes is in the way of that 18 inches between our brain and our heart is this thing called pain and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me just a couple snippets of your childhood, and I am deeply pained by what you're sharing.
And I'm afraid for how that little girl has to live with that mom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that there could possibly be more an ongoing work. And I wanted, and I want to balance something out here with expectation. I was just having a conversation with my good friend of mine about this yesterday. And what I was sharing and what I'm coming to in my own life and trying to work through some things and to continue to grow and get healthier and healthier. But some things are really, really sticky. They won't go away. Mm-hmm. And this isn't heaven. This isn't heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we pray.
Right?
We pray on earth as it is in heaven. But listen, it's still on earth. Mm-hmm. And so that tempers our expectations that we're going to get all the way there. Mm-hmm. No, that's for the other side. But part of that is we still don't want to ignore the fact that we're trying to move the needle. But I think some of the needle that's in your way right now is some of the pain that you're carrying. And I would encourage you to get back into some therapeutic work here to see if there's just lingering or residues of pain that are interrupting your ability to have a deeper experience. And then the last thing I would definitely be encouraging you, in addition to the incredible guidance that Jackie has shown you in nurturing yourself, is continue to connect with other women who will reflect back to you love and value, nurture and care.
And doing that therapy can help with that, because my assumption, and I could be wrong, but my assumption is you've chosen relationships that are more likely to mirror your mom than the ones that would mirror a more nurturing parent.
If this other abusive, mean person can love me, it can reverse it.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, that's not how
that
it works.
Doesn't work. Yeah. And we typically, you know, marry or get into relationship with our caregivers, and that allows us to have some corrective experiences. I think getting into counseling and doing some EMDR could really, really help move you down that 18 inches.
Yeah, and I think also that the group experience, like you guys are talking about, and I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, because those the lies and the truths that we believe that have to be disrupted. And I love, Lindy, that you were able to come up with a loving message to 10-year-old Lindy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's so easily accessible. You came up with it right when Jackie was asking you. That is in you. And we want you to live in that love. It's just what we talked about in the beginning of the show. And we're grateful that you called, and we'll be praying. We'll get you connected with a counselor in your area, or even telehealth, because I think that can also be part of the process. We're grateful that you called. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Elizabeth, who's calling us from Milltown, California, listens online. We're glad you called, Elizabeth. How can we help you today?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm still alive. And I thank God for that, because I have Jesus, and that's literally the only reason.
Hmm. How can we help you today? Yeah,
I had three things, and if you just bear with me, I was hoping that the lady that I spoke with could make sure that, you know, to tell that she wrote down the three things, I hope, she could make sure and prompt me so I don't get sidetracked, because I have PTSD and, like, complex PTSD. Mm-hmm. And I had one comment, number one. Something I wanted to say about the two previous calls. We were recording, you know, like the Wednesday before Easter. So there were two of them. I'm basically a theme with everybody is they, you know, intellectually say they love themselves because that's what God said to do, but they don't feel it, you know?
Mm, yeah.
And I just wanted to comment on that about what's working for me and what I believe God, who is my Father and whose love, showed me to do. And I'm just going to say, so there are three things.
Elizabeth, hold on. You can hear the music, and we want to get your three things, but we have to take a break, unfortunately. But we'll be right back with you after this break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I have told you all about our matching gift that campaign that we have going on right now. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never given a New Life, you will be making a difference in the lives of so many people if you give to the matching gift. Every dollar will be doubled up to $400,000 because of the generosity of some donors that planted that seed. And we want to invite you to be part of Life Change. And you could do this by going to newlife.com/donate. You could call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can text the word MATCH to 28950. We are so grateful for every gift that comes in because it changes lives all over the world, and you can be part of that. Right now, we are talking with Elizabeth. Elizabeth had heard a previous show and had some comments, and Elizabeth, take it away. Are you there, Elizabeth? Well, we must have lost her. I know she was commenting on some self-talk. Let's see. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yeah, isn't that a common theme in my life? I'd be talking and no one can hear me. I feel like a ghost.
That'll preach, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm trying to keep on track now. I'm doing pretty well. But I did have a stroke a year ago in February.
Wow.
And not only that, I have ADHD, and not only that, I'm completely and utterly traumatized and devastated by what's going on in my life right now. And
you said you had a few points you wanted us to keep you on track with?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to try and outline them. And one of them I wanted to comment on the previous calls about people not being not actually loving themselves, like telling themselves that, but don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to comment on that. And the second part was going to be about scapegoat syndrome. Basically, you know, some people are named scapegoat in family systems, and it follows them their whole life.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, and I don't actually want to debate it. It's a thing,
okay.
You know, because I've experienced it, and there's other people that have too. And
right.
If you haven't experienced it, you don't recognize it, and it, people get further traumatized. And we can't even get help from the church because it's covert stuff at home.
And yeah, we agree with you, Elizabeth.
The third point, that was two parts. I'm sorry, I got to keep track real quick because I'm trying to outline it. And the third part is like narcissism, you know, in the system where you're someone's scapegoat. And it's basically like anyone that doesn't deal with their own stuff and, you know, projects it on one person and one person's named it in a family. That part of it. But I'm talking about the spiritual, you know, basically demonic, I would call it. Paranormal part of it that is going along with it right now too, and I'm experiencing all three of these things, and I'm literally experiencing it here. The Wednesday before Easter, and I know we're having that eclipse coming up on like the 8th. I don't know when the show is supposed to air. Do you?
Well, so, Elizabeth, do you have a question that we can answer today? And my other question is, do you have support around you as you are dealing with some of these things?
Well, actually, the answer to that is no, because everybody that I have around me ends up betraying me and attacking me.
Mm.
I have no support. And I'm working on it now. I've been in recovery and working on myself at least since 2010.
Are you in therapy?
Yes, I was in therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Are you in therapy currently?
It was my fault.
Currently? Are you currently in therapy?
I was, but not since the beginning of the year. I was doing EMDR for the post-traumatic, which is basically what I'm doing now.
Okay.
You know, walking and processing my trauma. But I was under treatment for that, but I've been gone off and on through all the years, always thinking everything was my fault because I was told that my whole life. And, you know, because of that scapegoat syndrome thing.
Right. Are you in? So, Elizabeth, you're work in recovery. You have for years. Are you in a recovery group? Are you connected to people who are?
Yes. Yes. And I've been in several of them. I was in Codependence Anonymous for all the way up till COVID. And then, you know, what happened with that. And and then that group stopped meeting and I never started. But I have started going to other groups and try. And right now, I look back to the first point about not loving yourself.
Yeah.
I literally do. I felt like a junk my whole life because basically that's what I was told, like not even have a right to exist, basically. You know, and well, anytime, yeah, I seriously, I have to get my thought out, you know, because I have post-traumatic stress disorder, plus under huge amounts of stress, and I just wanted to say that is what has saved my life through all this, because the people closest to me just hate on me and will literally show me zero love or support me, or they can, you know, basically steal stuff right in front, you know, mistreat me.
So, Elizabeth, you know? Let me jump in really quickly. So, Elizabeth, there's a lot going on inside of you, right? There is just this, an enormous amount of anxiety, of frustration, of pain that all leads to this big, painful experience called chaos and emptiness all at the same time. That's a real, real problem. That's a real condition of deep suffering. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to seek out the both medical and therapeutic help that would support you and that you need from a lifelong experience of trauma to help bring a greater sense of calm and peace. You know, this idea of serenity actually is the cornerstone of recovery, both in addiction and, as I see, in trauma recovery. So I'll leave you with this. It's from Psalm 34, and we'll go to a break right after this. Seek peace and pursue it. And we'll come back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, it's hard when we hear Elizabeth's story. We know people that have experienced really hard things like what Elizabeth is telling us about. And, you know, Chris, I love just the image that you provided with, you know, our goal is that serenity, that peace, and we have to fight for it. And, you know, we know recovery can be that pathway. We've seen it so many times, and yet it can feel overwhelming. But I just love the way that you put that to words. We're grateful that you called, Elizabeth, and we'll be praying for that next part of your journey.
Well, and Becky, I was just going to say, I'm so grateful that Scripture leads us to reconcile these paradoxes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is peace isn't something that happens to us. It clearly says seek peace. Mm-hmm. Pursue peace with others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a line in Hebrews that says, strive mm-hmm. to enter mm-hmm. God's rest. Mm. Strive and resting seem paradoxical, but I think in our world today, learning how to rest and rest in God is going to take work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we talk about attachment styles here, and when we talk about secure attachment, I think it is another way to say interior peace. It's,
yes.
You know, I am securely attached, and therefore I will have peace in my life. And we have to work towards getting grounded and getting secure. And those of us who are believers, our security is in Christ, and we, you know, we can lean into that peace that passes all understanding, even when people are not kind to us, that life is challenging to us, when we've experienced great losses, we can have this peace that doesn't make sense. And
I wanted to share something, thinking about what you were saying earlier about the match. Mm-hmm. So that people understand how important the giving is. I had a client that got a scholarship to go to the Emotional Freedom Workshop. And it really did for him what we're talking about. He was able to find that peace. He was able to find that personal acceptance and to settle down inside and find that calm so that then he could actually work through some of the really hard things he was going through. And then having that group connection aspect was so important. And so I just wanted to make that connection, because the giving allows us to be able to do more for more people. Yes. And I just, it's so important because people are needing that connection. We're hearing that today. People don't feel like they have support. They don't feel like they have community. They don't feel like they have people in their corner that is rooting for them. They feel more maybe attacked by people or devalued by people. And so being able to go to the Emotional Freedom Workshop for this particular man was everything. It changed everything for him.
Yeah.
That's I know huge. That you guys do such an incredible job there. You know, you bring up a good point, though, when we're talking about internal peace and that security, we quit looking for the world around us to provide that peace because there's a lot of chaos around us. Whether you watch the news or not, you might have the chaos in your home. It might be in your past. And so we have to work towards it. Healing, you know, emotional freedom. We just did this and we did help a lot of people. And thank you, Jackie, for what you do there. And Chris, I know that you and Steve also provide that teaching and that insight. What would you say, either one of you, to encourage somebody to take that step to join us in that next emotional freedom intensive?
Well, we often say hope and healing in life's hardest places. And that's exactly what we do. But for emotional freedom, I'm going to rephrase it. Peace and security in life's most troubling and chaotic places.
I think people will find that there are so many others. It is just always mind-blowing for me to get on that call and see all the people.
Yeah.
Like it's page after page, because we're on Zoom, page after page after page full of people who are coming together all with the same thing in mind. I need help. I'm stuck. I'm in this emotional turmoil. And I think we help them figure out what it takes to get unstuck, which is moving through the emotion. And I think that that's a big learning piece for so many people, because they're just wanting to shove it down and have it go away. And they're getting to learn about the discomfort of healing.
Yeah. And I find that the Mount Everest of relationships in our life will be the self. And emotional freedom is helping you climb that mountain to get to more peaked moments where you can say, I like me. I like living in my skin. I like living in my experience. And I can do this and move forward.
I love it. Well, if you want to join us on the next one, it's going to be in June. I don't know the date right off the top of my head.
June 1st.
Oh, thank you. I figured one of you would know. June 1st. And it's online. And, you know, if this is a step that you want to take to move forward in your own healing journey, I want to see you there. And we're so grateful for Chris and Jackie and their in just their wisdom that they share, and Steve as well. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Joe, who's calling us from Suwanee, Georgia, and watches us on YouTube. And we're grateful for our YouTube viewers. And if you're there, click that like button and subscribe. It helps get the word out and helps so many people. Hi, Joe. How can we help you today?
Joe T. Hey, what's up? What's going on? Radio?
Yeah, we're waiting for we're waiting to help you, Joe. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, my birthday is tomorrow, so you know.
Happy birthday. What's your question?
21. All right, so my question is basically like how would you, like, the ones who basically try to have, like, you know, beef with you or a feud, right? You know, you're basically just like, oh, you know, that, oh, I'm just, you know, I did it, or I talked my stuff, you know, and after that, I'm done with it. So what I said, you know, I'm just giving, you know, that type of energy. Right. You know, so it's basically giving that. And, you know, I was just wondering, you know, how you would basically deal with it, you know, even though I kind of took it out, you know, with like music or whatnot.
Yeah.
But,
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, Chris? Well, Joe T, that's a big question, but a very, very important one. Because what do we do with people who are either have harmed us or threatening to harm us or may harm us, right?
I'll just say it was more of like a sister, ex-boyfriend, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but he poses some sort of threat regardless. Now, you may be able to handle him physically just fine. You know, that may not be the issue. But but how do we resolve with people who have beef with us? And oftentimes, this can be very difficult. It can be difficult for me because I oftentimes want to exact revenge. I want to get them back. I want to make them pay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I want to be about the Lord's business. But I forget about what that verse says in Romans ahead of that. He says, having beef, if I can use that language, carrying this anger and frustration and resentment is like coals on your lap. But we must let go and forgive because we're going to leave room for God's justice. But part of this, too, is that one of the most important things that we can invest in our life is energy. I've talked about our return on. We talk about ROI, return on investment, ROT, return on our time, or our ROE, our return on energy. And it is our most valuable and scarce resource. We need to set boundaries, but also be clear in our life. My energy is limited in any given day, and I must protect it and put it towards the things that are worthy and eliminate the things that are unworthy of it. And I think, you know, you mentioned, I think I heard that you're turning 21. Congratulations. Public service announcement, drink responsibly. But to that point, it's like this is a really, really good time in your life to start figuring out what are energy drains, what are energy givers, and what do I want to spend my energy doing and being a part of? Because I may want, if I'm myself, I may want revenge or vengeance on this other person and exact justice. But let me be honest, that's going to take a ton of my energy. And that's energy that may be well invested somewhere else.
I love it. Jackie, you got a quick thought?
I agree with everything Chris just said. And I don't think about vengeance as much as I think about cutoff. So if it's not working for me and if it's dangerous for me, I'm not going to give it my energy. My peace is a priority.
And Joe, I would encourage you to be the man that God has called you to be as opposed to being in reaction, everyone around you. I mean, that is what we really are called to be, responsive, not reaction. And boy, there's a lot of energy, like you said, Chris, that comes into reactive living.
Yep.
And that is contrary to peace. We're glad you called, Joe. We're going to send you a book. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I mentioned that because we air at different times, people listen at different times, we have set up a way for you to let us know what your question is when we are not live. And you can go to newlife.com/radio and get all the instructions there. Or if you're watching online, you can see the QR code and it'll take you to that place. Right now, we're going to hear a voicemail from Kathy, who left this message.
My name is Kathy, calling from Miami, Florida. My question is, how can I know if my son is acting out with porn? He has been to Every Man's Battle twice, online, year before last, and then last year he went in person. He is in the recovery group. I pay for his group meetings, but I noticed of late that he hasn't been attending the meetings. And this is a little triggering for me because I experienced betrayal by his dad, his father. And I'm in therapy working through the trauma of that. but also I experienced deception from him when I discovered his porn addiction. When I talked to him about it, when I asked him, you know, how he's doing, you know, if the meetings are helping, we had a discussion about that, and he told me that it feels as if he's on trial and that I'm policing him, which I don't feel that it is that way. I really try to not cause him to feel shame. I just want to know how, you know, if he's being helped. I don't know if I should be asking, but then it triggers me because it makes me feel as if the deception is happening when I don't see him continuing with the group meeting. So I just wanted to know, how can I know? Because it's making me feel unsafe because I'm being triggered. It's making me feel unsafe. So how can I know that he's not acting out, and then if I should even be asking him? Because I told him I wasn't going to because I didn't want him to feel shame, but then I realized it feels as if he was minimizing the hurt that he caused me by him saying that I'm policing him. And that he hasn't seen how he's contributed to the pain that I've experienced, that I'm now having to work through. So I would appreciate, you know, some guidance with that.
That's a great question, Kathy. We're glad you called in. Chris, let's start with you.
Yeah, it is a great question, and I feel for Kathy because her greatest fears and pain caused in her own betrayal trauma, she is really worried about her son. But she's personalizing it with her son in a way that's not, at the end of the day, personal. And so she feels betrayed by her son because he's watching porn. And like, listen, he's definitely not living up to her expectation. But her response is a control response. How would I know? And I'm like, I mean, if it's in your house, there's definitely things that you can do. There is security modem programs out there where you can know exactly what IP address is being used for every single website visited through that modem. We have one of those in our home and in our office and all those sort of things. And so there's control factors, including, you know, you could do something as easy as shut off your modem. And there's even apps that you can do that remotely in many of the things. So there's a lot of things you can do to protect and set boundaries around the use of illicit websites in the home. But his journey has to be his journey. There are three C's that we talk about in Al-Anon that are very applicable here. You did not cause this, number one. You cannot control it, number two. And number three, you cannot cure it. Now, there may be some boundaries that you need to set where he's going to need to feel the weight of the consequences of what's going on. But he will feel, even if you just ask him a question about it, he will feel shame because porn use is driven from shame and driven by shame. It drives shame and is driven by it, right? There's a cycle involved here. And so those around them are truly powerless until he faces up to what he needs to do to get the recovery that he needs. But the last thing I would say is need to get into your own recovery. Please go to Restored. It will help you so tremendously to find greater sense of healing and what we've been talking about, peace, in the midst of these really, really painful experiences.
Right. You know, I want to say one thing about that too, Chris, is the fact that, Kathy, if you're paying for his recovery group, that also probably needs to stop. And that's one of the things that you'll learn at Restore as well as your own codependent recovery. But Jackie, go ahead.
I'm glad you said codependent because I was just thinking Kathy is saying, well, I'm not trying to shame you. He shouldn't feel shame. That's not what I'm intending. Well, in the same way, he's saying he's not doing anything to betray you right now.
Yeah.
And so you can't feel his truth and he can't feel yours. And so what you could do is take a step back from focusing on controlling whether or not he's using porn and begin to focus on healing from the betrayal from your husband, because you're transferring what your husband did over onto your relationship with your son.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not helpful or healthy for either of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big challenge when we are in situations like this, Kathy, depends on his age and if he's living with you. And there's a couple of other layers that I'm thinking about in your question, because it comes down to what you were talking about, Chris, is what does he want to do with his problem?
Yes.
Because you aren't strong enough to control it, to cure it. You know, and if you were, you would have done it already. I mean, you've provided a pathway. And, you know, that's the thing. When we talk about recovery is for everyone, it literally is for everyone. Because whether you are struggling with an addiction or you are in relationship with somebody, or maybe you don't even recognize the way that things are controlling your life, recovery can be a path forward to experiencing that freedom. One last word, Jackie or Chris, what would you say to our listeners about finding that peace that we started talking about?
Well, I'll start where we kind of finished off here, is that in life there are many different things that are scary and maybe even painful that we truly are powerless against. And when we come to these moments of surrender that recovery leads us into, we learn to surrender the things that we're not in control of. We also understand that there's a lot of things that have happened to us that we're not the cause of, so we can let go of the shame. We also understand that the last person, I'm a therapist, the last person on planet Earth I can cure is me. that I can't cure a lot of things that I need to go get help for. And there, I'm going to add one more C. But I don't want to contribute to any more harm. And so that's where the boundaries come in. So my contribution is going to be towards health and healing and growth and vitality and God's will.
Yeah.
So, but I won't contribute to that which is addictive and painful and harmful. And I need the wisdom to figure that out.
I love that. Jackie? Yeah.
Boundaries. I think that there are boundaries that mom can put in place in terms of what's okay for her and what's not okay for her. But again, she won't be able to control anything. And so set the boundaries and make choices in setting those boundaries with consequences. Make consequences that you can live with. Because if you say, if you do this, you got to get out. You want to be ready for him to do it and you would have to follow through.
Yeah. And if I can add one quick thing. In as much as it's up to you, live at peace with everyone, including yourself.
Yes.
I love that. I love that. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, listeners. If you need something, you know where to find us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We are grateful to be on this journey with you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.